The media is full of faux outrage every day, but this certainly is something that is a disgrace. It is an outrage that an industry and a satellite industry should be profiting off the immiseration and pauperization of a vast section of society. Do remember that whenever you have somebody who's on methadone, who's maintaining, shall we say, that is a brother or a sister, that was a former breadwinner, that was somebody who isn't just to drain themselves, quote unquote, you're talking about an entire family, an extended family that's affected by drug use. So it isn't just, shall we say, 100,000 people on methadone, it's 100,000 families affected by this. And methadone and this, shall we say, this weaning off from heroin, actually methadone in most instances actually turns into a surrogate for heroin itself. It simply becomes another form of addiction. Addiction is addiction. Whether it's in the comfy settings of a medically controlled environment with a pharmacy, or if it's in a back alley, in both instances you're using, all you're doing is changing the surroundings within which it's done. This is a euphemism at large, and there's no point in pretending otherwise. So I think we need to recognize that fact, and I certainly think we need to recognize the fact that the HSE, and therefore, by extension, the Irish public, is being used as a cash cow for this industry. And there's no other word for it. It is an industry.
What happens, though, if you take away the methadone from these people who are no longer robbing to feed a habit? But if you remove the methadone, they're almost forced back into a situation of crime, if you like, to committing crime to feed their habit.
So this is where effective aftercare would step into place. One of the initiatives in Cúin Mhíre is the Lumen Initiative. And it's an educational project whereby people are given the tools towards ensuring that they become autonomous, that become confident, self-possessed, etc. Remember, these people, a lot of them aren't literate, let alone technically literate in IT. So when you give those people the skills to be able to negotiate society, to actually communicate effectively, we found Cúin Mhíre has one of the lowest recidivism rates in the world.
What is the rate?
It's in and around 20% over the course of about 10 years.
So you have a success rate of about 8%?
It would be up and around there, yeah. Now, of course, there's a 5-year rate, there's a 10-year rate, there's a 15-year rate, etc. And the rates are different for drugs and alcohol. But it's very, very high, and it's something that is based around ensuring that at the first instance, people are recognized as human beings, and that what has gone on in their lives, what people witnessed on the streets, or what happened from their behavior, it's not to absolve them of their behavior, but it's to recognize that addiction is a toxic phenomenon, and that if we simply meld, shall we say, a person who suffers from addiction and the drug together, then we end up actually not just getting rid of drugs, shall we say, we end up getting people who are addicted to drugs. And that's not what we want. We have to ensure that the two are separated.
During this time of turning point, if you like, of treatment or whatever it is, that this point of self-realization, perhaps, this process of self-realization, is it better to have safety net locations that people can go to, because they're so affected by society and the, I suppose, the dislocation they're feeling within society? Is it better that they have a safety net location to go to? Others might call that institutionalization. What's your take on that?
Well, there is certainly the phenomenon of institutionalization where people effectively are crippled, and this happens in prisons, it happens in long-term care and hospital, it happens with unemployment.
And does that happen because of there's a lack of self-ownership, and because they're being told what to do. Is that the symptom of institutionalization?
It's partly that. So it would have to do with people having initiative, but also people feeling incredibly agoraphobic once they go out in the world. They feel they have to go back in. That's the only place that they know. Now, of course, in Coonvira, only speaking on the part of Coonvira, there is an attitude that we try to instill of self-reliance. So there would be mushroom farms in the campus in Athai, people who would be honing their skills in woodwork, for example, and then selling it on the local market. So it not only gives confidence, it actually gives a value, not just a moral value, but also financial value, because it enables them, shall we say, to take the next step and go outside the campus and become productive.
So Coonvira, its mission is effectively about the renovation of somebody's life.
Essentially, I mean, that's the core mission. It's ensuring that people recognize that they have a value, a transcendent value, that isn't limited to what the state thinks of them, or what the HSE thinks of them, or what their drug dealer thought of them, that they have a core value, and that is unshakable, no matter what travails and tribulations assail them, that they're assured that they are unique, original, and unrepeatable, and that when you carry that attitude into your work and into your love life and into your relationships, I mean, it will cause huge, wonderful, fantastic outflowings of joy and productivity, etc. We see it time and time again.
So the success rates is what would motivate one to be involved in Coonvira and to get involved and to help.
Well, yes. I mean, there is. I don't want to. I'm not here to, shall we say, plug Coonvira necessarily, but I am here to say that if you are suffering from addiction, and if you know somebody who's suffering from addiction, there is a place. There is a place where you'll be welcome, where you'll be loved, where you'll be respected, and where you won't be judged on what happened before. And you will be able to become a new person, a better person, a person who is worthy of love and worthy of giving love. And as we say, it's an old cliche, but love is one of those things. The more of it you give away, the more you get back. And in that reality, Coonvira is a place where you can find a home.
How much does faith play a part in this process of renovation?
In Coonvira, it plays a large part, but of course it's discretionary, it's completely voluntary. But it is, as the name would suggest, Coonvira means Harbour of Mary in English. And Sister Concilio, being a mercy nun, has brought across that core spirituality of being under the mantle of Our Lady. It's something she's unabashed about. It's something she's had a lot of fights with the HSE about. But the results speak for themselves. And the residents within Coonvira cleave to it as a necessary tool.
Imagine for when they reintegrate into life, that is their, if you like, their life buoy that they keep that life jacket on them for the rest of their lives.
Invariably. I mean,
no less than the rest of us.
No less than the rest of us. Indeed, it's not something that people should necessarily feel embarrassed about. I mean, there's the rampant secularism that exists at the moment where even the mention of God, people become quite flustered and embarrassed, etc. Yes, so, I mean, yes, in Coonvira, that doesn't exist. It's a place where, yes, there are atheists and there's agnostics, but all of them recognize that, as with the 12-step program, with AA and whatnot, there's a recognition that you have to see beyond yourself, if that's in a Catholic perspective or simply in a general perspective, be that as it may, but you have to go beyond yourself. You have to transcend yourself in order to overcome those addictions, because you have to be bigger than those addictions that have assailed you, that have dominated your life, that have come to define you.